This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report, China Far Away. I've been to China. Admittedly, my last visit was 20 years ago in Beijing and Shanghai when we were looking at how the country handled flooding. Earlier, I'd been in Hong Kong and Macau, largely on plane layovers. I've never been to the mega cities that have sprung up in recent years or the industrial and manufacturing centers that have driven their economy. So at this point, what do I know? Other than the fact that China is huge, now on the world stage and looking to U.S. eye to eye. I have to also admit that every time I try to get my mind wrapped around this whole China-U.S. thing, a song from the alternative country singer from Minnesota, Greg Brown, pulls out the earworm on his song China. It's almost doggerel, but the line, China and Far Away, sticks with me when he sings, oh, maybe somewhere down the line, oh, China, 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 far away. We'll get back the same time from China. China, China, far away. I have a friend and colleague who boils at the way the New York Times covers China as biased and a tool of U.S. propaganda, government propaganda, that is. But we all do our best to sort out truth from fiction. Alexandra Stevenson, who handles their China business and economy beat, co-wrote some pieces on rent-to-buy and contract purchases during Acorn's Home Savers campaign some years ago and is now their China hand. So I read her with interest. She wrote a piece on their economy, which seems to be walking the line between throwing some bones to the China hawks out there, maybe among her top brass, while slipping in warnings that the country's economy is still roaring on its way to record trade surpluses despite Trump's tariffs because of the strength of its manufacturing sector. She walked the aisles at some of their trade emporiums, noting how many have substituted exports to the U.S. elsewhere, particularly to other Asian countries. She raises a flag that those countries may in the future throw up barriers to protect their own domestic manufacturing, but it doesn't alter the fact that this minute, China is managing a workaround in the trade war. She dutifully notes other problems in the Chinese economy with deflation, property and housing collapses, restiveness on wages, and more. But between those lines, it's clear that the country is playing hardball and more than holding its own in the middle innings. She notes that China has let vendors use internet that bypasses China's great firewall so they can hawk their goods on platforms that are banned elsewhere in China, like TikTok and YouTube, which is a warning to us all. She paints a very contradictory picture on the other hand, saying people are anxious about their incomes and cautious about spending money. Households, instead, have been saving nearly as much as they did during the pandemic when people faced indefinite lockdowns with no end in sight. Prices across the country are also plunging, and there is little prospect they'll turn around. Youth unemployment is high, urban wages have slowed to a record low, and in some industries, they're shrinking. Cost of land, critical for local government revenues, has tumbled. Invariably, both the good news and the bad news are likely walking side by side in China, far, far away. But the real message on this side of the world is that both the U.S. and China are being hurt by Trump's trade war. We seem to be playing Russian roulette. Maybe the first bullets won't kill us, but the longer it lasts, the more likely we'll all feel too much pain. And as people and bystanders in both countries, we might be willing to take a draw now while we're still both standing. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.